The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Jack Phillips, of course, has been a frequent guest over the last several years as we've walked with Jack and prayed with Jack on his journey. And Jack Phillips, congratulations on your new book, The Cost of My Faith, How a Decision in My Cake Shop Took Me to the Supreme Court. Welcome to the program.
Well, good to be with you, Gino. How are you today?
You know what? I am doing good. And as I'm thinking about this great country in which we live, I know that there's a growing sentiment that we should hate our country and we should hate each other. But it's at times like this, I thank God that by grace, God's grace and mercy, we live in a great country and we have a wonderful constitution. And even though religious freedom seems to be at risk, I'm still glad that I'm here.
You're right. I am, too. And we have a great constitution. It was a really gracious gift from God to put those wise men together to create that document from scratch 250 years ago.
Well, apparently also joining us on the program is one of your attorneys from Alliance Defending Freedom, Jake Warner. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So now, Jake, the Rockies are playing at Coors Field. They have an umpire behind the plate calling balls and strikes. Jake Warner, are you going to be calling balls and strikes in our interview so we make sure that I don't put Jack in jeopardy?
Well, typically courts are responsible for calling balls and strikes, but I'm just here to talk about Jack's case and answer any questions you might have about that.
Well, you know, we were talking about his wonderful new book, The Cost of My Faith, and of course you're familiar with it. No one's more familiar than you about the journey that Jack has taken. And before we talk a little bit about that journey, let's talk just for a moment, at least, about Jack's book. Jack, tell us about it's released and it's available.
Yeah, it's available, you know, since a lot of your listeners are local here. It's available here in my shop, and Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian book distributors, online places like that. But the reason that I wrote the book in the first...
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
Place was so that I could share the truth of what happened that beautiful July afternoon, 9 years ago almost, with my kids and my grandkids, so they would know the truth of those events.
Yeah, one of the things that's really interesting about your book, The Cost of My Faith, how this decision in my cake shop took me to the Supreme Court. It isn't limited to that. You talk about your own journey of faith, both as a person, you know, who for whatever reason, God in his grace and his mercy made you a baker. But you also talk about your journey to faith. And that really is the most important part of this story, isn't it?
It was to me, besides relaying the facts of what happened that afternoon, why they happened is even more important. And they happened because one spring morning back in 1978, I was convicted of my sins while I was driving home. I was just in my car and God convicted me of my sin. The Holy Spirit showed up in my car and convicted me of my sin, not just my sins, the things that I had done wrong, but my sin nature, that I was wrong, that I needed a Savior. And I knew, even though I'd grown up going to church, I hadn't been to church probably in 4 or 5 years, all of a sudden all the Bible verses, the stories, the salvation by grace, that all came rushing into my heart, into my soul, and I knew that I needed a Savior, that it was Jesus. And so my first response was to try and negotiate with him. let me clean up my life and you'll get a better deal. And he said, you can't. And I understood also that there was nothing I could do to enhance that salvation, that he did everything on the cross. And I said, you're right, I'm yours. And I was saved at that moment. So that's, my life changed immediately that day. I had to go home and tell my wife. I wasn't anticipating that with any eagerness because I thought she, she could leave me over this because,
Yeah, she didn't sign up for some Jesus freak.
No, and just a few weeks before, my sister-in-law had merely invited her to church, and she blew up at her. So I'm going to walk in now and tell her I've just become a Christian, expecting the worst. And so she told me, when I told her, she said, me too, 3 days ago. And that changed not only my life, but both of our lives, how we handled our marriage, our money, our kids, our upcoming business that, I thought about, but was still years away. All those things are impacted by this. The way my faith, compels all my actions, the way I treat my employees, the way I treat my customers, which cakes we decided to create and which cakes we knew we could not create.
Well, one of the things I know, last week you were at NRB, which is the National Religious Broadcasters, and just tell me briefly, The Cost of My Faith is out. People are reading it. What's been the response so far? Are you happy, sad? Tell me about how you're thinking about The Cost of My Faith, its release, and some of the feedback you've already gotten.
Feedback I've gotten has been all positive. People have told me that they've read it in a single sitting. One of my friends got it at noon in the mail, and he finished up at midnight that night. My brother picked it up at noon one day, and then 2 o'clock the next day, he came into the shop and said, I finished your book a couple hours ago. And all the response has been just tremendous. People have said that it's made them, brought them to tears. There's a chapter where I discuss when I meet my wife back in 1975, and that really resonated with a good friend of mine this morning. He said he met his wife in a similar way. So the response has been great, and just, it's been fun to hear those expressions from people.
Well, and, obviously there's been some other things that have happened, and Jake, I know that Alliance Defending Freedom has had lots of clients over the years. In your wildest imagination, did you think that you would have a client not once, not twice, but three times?
Yeah, it's been a long journey over the past decade. At this point, it seems like Jack is just getting pursued or harassed by folks who simply disagree with his views on life's most important subjects. For example, you might remember that his most recent suit started on the same day that, at least the facts of it, started on the same day that the U.S. Supreme Court decided to hear Jack's first case. A local Denver attorney called Jack and asked for a custom pink and blue cake to celebrate a gender transition. But this wasn't the first time that attorney called Jack. Back in 2012, the same attorney emailed Jack, calling him a bigot and a hypocrite, and then seemed to track Jack for the next few years and even at some point asked Jack to create a custom cake depicting Satan smoking marijuana. So I think that this journey has been so long in part because activists and government officials have been kind of weaponizing our legal system to punish people they disagree with, and Jack has been right in the middle of that.
You know, I don't need to tell you, but we're so grateful for Alliance Defending Freedom. And the body of Christ is grateful. And people who love religious freedom are grateful. So there's a couple of things I want to just quickly ask you about this court. Jack returned to court. The Colorado court allowed a new lawsuit to move forward. Jack lost that case, was fined $500. Tell us what that means, that he lost the case, and what are his appeal options at this point?
Sure. Well, the same case I was describing moments ago went to court. It went to trial in late March, and the court recently issued a judgment against Jack, ordering him to pay a $500 fine for declining to create a custom pink and blue cake to celebrate a gender transition. Mm-hmm. But we are going to appeal that decision up to the Colorado Court of Appeals and advocate for Jack's right to create custom cakes with messages consistently with his faith. We don't believe the government has the power to force anyone to express messages that go against their deepest belief. And that principle certainly applies to people like Jack, who serve everyone but just can't express every message through their expression.
So if a Muslim baker was asked to bake a cake that says, repent and turn to Jesus, and the Muslim said, you know what, that's inconsistent with my deeply held religious beliefs, and I'm not going to do that. It isn't just so is this a religious freedom issue, or is it a, dare I say it, a freedom issue? Is this a religious freedom, or is this a freedom of conscience issue? And does it matter how we characterize it as either religious freedom or freedom?
It's a religious freedom issue, and it's a free speech issue. The First Amendment protects Jack's right not to express a message inconsistent with his faith, just like it protects that Muslim baker's right not to create a custom cake expressing a message that goes against his or her deepest beliefs.
So we talked about the hostility towards Jack's faith. It was clearly obvious to the United States Supreme Court. They rebuked the commission in a 7-2 decision. What are your thoughts on the appeal process, given the current circumstances we face, the political and cultural current in Colorado?
Well, you might remember that the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Jack's favor rested on two principles. One was the fact that the state was hostile in its comments about Jack and his faith, comparing his plea for religious freedom to some of the worst things in our history, like defenses that justified the Holocaust or slavery. But the second component of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision was the fact that Colorado was discriminating against Jack, allowing other cake artists to decline to create cakes with messages against their deepest beliefs, but refusing to give Jack that same freedom. And Colorado hasn't changed its rules in the years since. And we see that play out in Jack's current case. The Constitution, specifically the Free Exercise Clause, prevents the state from discriminating against Jack. And we hope that on appeal that the appellate court will recognize that discrimination called out as a free exercise violation.
Now, I wish Jack's case was unique, but it really isn't. Before we continue, Jake, what other kinds of cases is Alliance Defending Freedom dealing with, as this seems to be mushrooming all across America, mm-hmm. As people are pushing and targeting specific people?
We've represented creative professionals all across the country. In fact, we achieved a significant victory at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals on behalf of two Minnesota filmmakers mm-hmm. just a couple of years ago. The same is true for a calligrapher and painter here in Arizona. These creative professionals created artwork or some kind of speech, and they did not want to celebrate ideas about marriage that conflict with their deepest beliefs. So we brought lawsuits on their behalf and have won at the Arizona Supreme Court and a federal appellate court. Now we're seeing other lawsuits pop up all around the country, and we're representing photographers all along the East Coast from New York to Virginia. And you might also remember that we're representing Washington florist Baronelle Stutzman.
Yes,
her case
I've had
right
her on.
At the Supreme Court right now, Pat. We could get news on her case in the next week or so to see what the U.S. Supreme Court's going to do, whether granting her case or sending it back down or doing something different.
Will that news play a part in how you go forward and the strategy that you employ?
Well, it could. We don't know exactly what the U.S. Supreme Court would do, but if the U.S. Supreme Court grants Baronelle's case, then it could certainly announce a rule that could cover Jack and many other creative professionals around the country, protecting their right to create art consistently with their deepest beliefs.
Now, Jack, this has been going on a very, very long time. How has this case, how has previous cases prepared you? And tell me a little bit about the wear and tear emotionally, spiritually, on you and your family.
Yeah, sure, Gino. I knew that I was going to own my own bakery way back in the 70s, and it wasn't until shortly after that that I knew that it would be a bakery that was a cake shop, Masterpiece Cake Shop. The name of it came to my mind right away back then, because Masterpiece says art and Cake Shop says cake, and I was going to be able to use the cake as a canvas to help people celebrate important events in their life. But Masterpiece, also the first part of Masterpiece is master, and I knew that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said no man can serve two masters, and so I want to make sure as I come to my shop every day, who am I going to serve? But I knew I would be able to serve everybody that came in my shop, but I wouldn't be able to express every message. And right from the beginning, my wife and I decided we wouldn't create cakes that celebrated Halloween or cakes that were anti-American or racist or anything like that, cakes that would insult people, even people who identify as LGBT. But we also knew that we couldn't create cakes that celebrated same-sex marriages. And back then in the 90s when we opened the shop, that wasn't on anybody's radar. But we knew that those things were cakes that we couldn't create, but it was never the person asking for them. It was always the cake or the message involved in the cake. And so since the two men came in and a 20-second conversation that turned my world upside down, we've had so many different things happen here. Right away, they left yelling at me, screaming at me, and flipping me off. And then I got hateful, vile phone calls. Right after that, 20 minutes later, the phone started ringing, and it just didn't stop for days and days and days. It was crazy, including I write about one story in The Cost of My Faith where a man called me up and said, I'm on my way to your shop. I've got a gun.
Right.
And I'm gonna blow your head off. Like, just craziness over, you know, a cake that I can't create because it celebrates a different view of marriage than the biblical view. But we also then had to go to court through the administrative law court. They told me that if I'm going to continue making wedding cakes, that I have to make wedding cakes for everybody who comes in, and same-sex wedding cakes or whatever. So we knew that we wouldn't be able to continue creating wedding cakes and help people celebrate that very important event. So we had to give up our wedding cake business, which was a large percentage of our income at the time. And I went from 10 employees at that point, the day that David and Charlie came in, down to 4, including myself, all the way through the Supreme Court, like you're talking about, and our recent trial where the judge found us guilty. But at that trial, you know, one of the other hard things that's come up through these years was watching my wife and my daughter both have to stand trial and be cross-examined by the opposing counsel, who didn't want to come to the, you know, what happened here? How can we fix this? No, they wanted to destroy my wife and my daughter.
I want to be sensitive to both of your time. I wanted to ask you just a very simple question. It's probably a complex answer, but what I see is a simple question. How can we help you? How can we help Jack? How can we help Alliance Defending Freedom, who's working so tirelessly to protect Jack's freedom?
Well, from my viewpoint,
one thing. Go ahead, Jack.
Go to my website. There's a link. Well, there's a link that supports me, but go to ADF's website, and they run on donations. They represent all their clients pro bono, which means they've never charged me a dime. But it's not free. It's been a very expensive proposition. And these freedoms that they're helping to protect are freedoms that we all cherish. In fact, the person who's suing me, these freedoms that person would ultimately want to keep, because part in the court, they said that this attorney that's suing me said that part of the reason for the lawsuit was to correct the errors in my thinking. And so we need to make sure that people understand that this is not just, you know, something that is random. It's a cultural shift that we're experiencing.
And Jake, we were talking a little bit off air. It seems to me we have to ask that pressing question. What is religious freedom? Is it under assault? Can it be taken away? Can you imagine or envision a world where religious freedom and freedom of conscience ceases to exist in our culture?
Yeah, you know, you look around the world and you see that religious freedom and free these fundamental civil liberties, they travel together. When we see the erosion of religious freedom, it often signals the erosion of other freedoms. And you just look around the world and you see evidence of that. And I think what's important to highlight here is that religious freedom, this idea of conscience, it's really important for everyone, not people like Jack who just, you know, not just people like Jack who identify as Christian, but everyone. I mean, the same principle that protects Jack from this government overreach is the same principle that protects, for example, an LGBT website designer from being compelled to create a website that celebrates a view of marriage that goes against his or her view of marriage. So when you look at it in that way, this principle of freedom, it protects everyone, not just people like Jack.
And so given that, it seems to me that when I read the Constitution, I'm no First Amendment scholar, but as I read it, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. It seems to me that freedom of conscience and religion is the first freedom that makes freedom possible, and that this freedom means no government interference. There's two things that are happening, a government component and a cultural component. Do you see the courts literally holding on and championing this constitutional right, but the culture putting more and more pressure on?
Certainly the culture moves here and there, but I have great confidence that when cases like Jack's reach the U.S. Supreme Court, that the court will in fact uphold freedom. I am confident that the Supreme Court is going to hold that the government can't force creative professionals like Jack to express messages that go against their core convictions, because that's a rule that protects everyone, not just Christians, but everyone with all different views on life's most important issues.
And do you see that they will either take up Jack's case eventually or a case like it and broaden the scope of the definition of government interference when it comes to freedom of religion and freedom of conscience?
Well, in many ways, the court can simply apply principles that it has long applied in many cases leading up to now. It's no stretch to say that the government doesn't have the power to compel someone's speech, especially on life's most important subjects. And ADF has cases right now right at the doorstep of the U.S. Supreme Court. For example, we're representing a web designer out of Colorado, mm-hmm. and her case involves the same issue, and it is at the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals, one step below the Supreme Court. And we have cases all around the country working their way through the court system, and I think we could see a case at the U.S. Supreme Court in the next couple of years on this subject, maybe even next term if the court decides to hear Baronell's case.
And again, thank you, Alliance Defending Freedom, for what you do. It's my understanding, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that that someone has given a generous gift to Alliance Defending Freedom, a matching gift. So if ever there was a time for people to step up and say, I want to participate with Alliance Defending Freedom and Jack in going forward, that we're not willing to give up without a fight, that they can go to Alliance Defending, or they can go to, is it adlegal.org? That's your website, right?
It's adflegal.org.
Yeah. adflegal.org. And are you optimistic about the chances on appeal?
I'm very optimistic. We have a lot of great legal arguments on appeal, certainly those that are related to the First Amendment, but also some procedural problems with the case. We are confident that at some point the court is going to rule in favor of Jack.
Well, I so am grateful to Jack and to your courage. We've had conversations about this, Jack, haven't we, about what all of this meant before it unfolded, and little did we know that God and his grace and his mercy would put you front and center in the fight.
Yeah, who knew? I thank you for your friendship and your powerful broadcast here, where you get to talk about these important things every day and let people know that every American should be able to freely live and work according to their conscience and without fear of punishment from the government. So I'm grateful for all you do, my friend.
Well, everybody can get a copy of The Cost of My Faith. If you're listening up and down the Front Range, well, of course, you can go to any bookstore or Amazon. But the best place to get The Cost of My Faith, How a Decision in My Cake Shop Took Me to the Supreme Court, is to go to the cake shop.
And the book also is endorsed by my good friend Gino Dracy. It's in one of the pages there. His wonderful endorsement of my story.
Well, it's a great privilege to be able to endorse that. And it looks like the way things are going, Jack, is there going to be a sequel to The Cost of My Faith?
Well, let's get through these court cases first.
Yeah. Isn't writing that book very much like becoming a new parent? And the day that you give birth to the baby is not the day to ask, should we have more children?
Probably, yeah. So, no, there's just so much going on, and ADF's got their hands full with so many other cases, and these freedoms are too important to worry about just another book. But I'm grateful for ADF's service and their help and their advice and their friendship as well.
Well, Jake Warner from Alliance Defending Freedom and Jack Phillips, thanks so much for being my guest.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.